I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast. Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. Super excited to have you on. Obviously, we've been changing tack a little bit with this latest season. As you know, since the show first started, things have changed in the world. The way we present, or the styles that we present, have changed. But the power of public speaking is, you know, as important, if not more important now than before. And so that's why I wanted to get our latest guest on, Nick Johnson, and talk about how you can get into different speaking opportunities, and then also how you're being able to be able to convert that and grow your business with it. So Nick's the founder and managing director of EGN, which is the Executives Global Network in Singapore, and we'll dive into how he taps into executives, which I know is a goal for a lot of people out there, and then how that ties into his business. So with all that being said, welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you so much, Victor. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us that elevator pitch. What is Executives Global Network, and how did that kind of come about?
So yeah, Executive Global Network, or as we call it, EGN. Basically, it's a network for senior executives where we place the executives in confidential peer groups. So about 25 to 30 in each group. And then they are meeting six times a year for 4 hours with a facilitator, where they are discussing the work-related challenges that they are facing and some strategies and so on to get some feedback on that. So that is basically the business model.
That's awesome. And how, where did that idea come from? Because it's obviously something that, I'm just hazarding a guess, but I assume, yeah, you get to a lot of these senior positions and it's quite hard to ask your juniors for advice or ask people below you. So you kind of get stuck, yeah, you get stuck in this cycle of people expecting you to know everything, and then obviously still having these challenges in your business. So how did that come about, the business? Mm.
So basically, it started back in Denmark, 1992, when it was a CFO who had a finance background, who was challenged by his boss. He said, well, we now have an IT department and I need you to be in charge of it. And this gentleman had no IT experience whatsoever from the past. So he wrote a letter to some of his colleagues outside the organization and asking them basically if they had any finance and IT experience, that combination. And it was quite rare back in the 90s. So they exchanged some letters back and forth. And in the end, they decided to meet up for a meeting. So that's basically how the format came about. And still today, it's about having people from different organizations discussing some of the challenges. So if we're looking back at the 90s, then it was a CFO getting some IT responsibility. Today, it is senior executives still working in digital transformation challenges, for example. So the format is more or less the same still today.
Yeah, cool. And how have you, utilized? I mean, I guess there's facilitators, which is one aspect of public speaking. But how does public speaking fit into the lead generation for your business, the visibility of your business, and in the growth side of it?
We can say that it's two parts in regards to public speaking. The first is that the members are presenting. So there's always someone of the members presenting in each of the peer group meetings. They can either present one of the challenges, or they can be an expert who's presenting in the group. So that's internally in the peer group. If we are looking at externally, how I have been using public speaking to grow EGN here in Singapore and beyond, it's basically been that I looked into one of the topics that many of the members are challenged with. And you touched upon that, that it can be quite lonely at the top. So that's a topic that I looked a little bit deeper at in the last year or two, where I done a survey of the senior executives to find out basically in regards to the mental state and the well-being. And I then presented these findings.
Yeah, nice. And then how, I mean, for a lot of people, some people, it's getting in touch. Yeah, executives are renowned for being, you know, some of the hardest people, or having the gatekeepers, I guess, to be able to get in touch with them. So how are you, I guess, I'm sure there's a system behind it, or a strategy behind it, into getting in front of your ideal customers or your ideal clients when it comes to your public speaking?
What I did before I started to pitch my talk, I gained some media exposure. So I put together some nice articles which had the survey findings. So it was quite newsworthy. And I pitched it to the local radio station, who invited me to come and talk about the theme of lonely at the top and executive loneliness for 10 minutes. And that radio interview I then used to pitch it to the local newspaper, who gave a write-up, and then a couple of magazines. That gave me then basically a foundation to stand on, a bit of credibility. I posted this on my social media, especially LinkedIn, and it immediately got the attention of actually business organizations. So rather than me pitching my keynote, I was immediately approached. I presented to the Singapore Women Association, the Singapore International Chamber of Commerce, and many other chambers of commerce. And to start off with, I also didn't want to charge anything for my talk. So I saw it as a PR exercise when I generated some traction and gained some experience.
It's awesome. I talk about building your authority, using, I call it my star system, but it's, yeah, it's either speaking, getting in the media, being published, whether that be a book or research articles or your results. And yeah, it sounds like you ticked off those things like very, very well in the aim of, you know, getting that media. And I don't know if you've ever, one of my favorite books out there is Trust Me, I'm Lying by Ryan Holiday. And for those of you who have read it, it's an awesome insight into being able to get and leverage that media exposure. And then you get that media exposure, you become a more trusted authority in the space, you leverage it onto your social platforms, you get these speaking opportunities, people already trust you because, you know, you're a speaker up there. And then it makes it, I guess, that and I'd be interested to hear your take, but those decision makers, those executives, if they're inviting you into their company, or they're coming to, you know, want to be part of the EGN, then it's a logical decision. You're the logical choice for something that they can obviously relate to. And then they've got all these other trust metrics behind it, like you being in the media and you being on stage. So it all builds into making a trusted decision.
Yeah, that's right, Victor. And I mean, some of the executives who reached out to me then when they heard or saw my keynote in one of the chambers of commerce, for example, in some instances, they have invited me to come and give my keynote to their company. It can be one of the regional sessions online where they wanted to spread this message further. But it can also be that they wanted, you know, to have a more of a private conversation. I was on Monday night, for example, invited to a local Rotary Club here. And with the regulations here, they were allowed to have a dinner for 8 people. So I shared my story over a dinner there. So then basically word of mouth, it just keeps spreading. And then someone hear it, and then they talk about this keynote to someone else, and they also want to hear it. And remember that I'm speaking on a topic which is full of stigma and taboo, and therefore it's not many who want to talk about it, but I see it as a way to reduce this stigma, and we need to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's a great thing that it's having that blue ocean. You've got a lot of people wanting to talk about whatever the latest thing is, whether that be, I don't know, mindfulness or productivity in the workplace or cloud technology, and you've got a million people wanting to vie for the attention for all of these companies to be able to speak or present or pitch or whatever it is. And then when it's something that your presentation obviously is relevant to these executives. Otherwise, you would have given it a couple of times. No one would have cared. They would have said, this doesn't relate to me. I don't experience any of this. See you later. But obviously, that wasn't the case. And then it means you've hit the right buttons with that.
Yeah, I think it all started with the survey findings that I touched upon earlier. So basically, one of the questions, Victor, that I looked at was to ask them if they ever have felt depressed or if they are depressed currently. And WHO's global number there was that 5% of the population globally have ever felt depression. The numbers I received here, and we're talking in 2019, so before COVID, was 30%. Now ask the same group of people this question in December 2020, so in the middle of a pandemic, and the number was double. So 60% of them have felt depression. So this is extremely alarming and high number. And that's a reflection of the stress and pressure senior executives have gone through during these times.
And then, so, I mean, like you say, those are astonishing, to a degree surprising. And then when you kind of look at it and think about the things that they're dealing with on a massive scale, it's, again, not surprising as well that those numbers are where they are. But like you say, it's taboo. It's something that's not necessarily spoken about. It's, you know, what have you got to whinge about? You're at the top of the totem pole. In New Zealand and Australia, the tall poppy syndrome. With that presentation, is the aim, or what is your walk away point, your one overarching message that when you're presenting to them, is it understanding that, or getting them to understand that this is something that's common and that we need to address? Would that be a fair?
Yeah, so you could say that it's really three things. The first thing is to just talk about it. This topic is so full of stigma that we need to talk about it. The second is that we need to understand it better so we can look out for ourselves if we are suffering, or perhaps one of our colleagues are suffering, or it could be a family member. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is, and I share this in my keynote also, what helped me when I went through a challenging time, and it was really to speak up, to talk to someone about our problems, because too often we walk around and keeping these things secrets within ourselves.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And tying into your keynote presentation, so obviously this gets you in front of a lot of your ideal audience. How have you used that to be able to, in the nicest way, funnel people from hearing your keynote presentation, knowing who you are, to then introducing them to your executives global network?
Well, it has a pretty nice link because they really get to know me. I show my vulnerable side to them, which is not common. When normally when we present, we're showing the best side. I'm taking them into my darkest sides, and I'm showing even pictures from it. I'm talking about when I went through depression. So it immediately, actually, they start to connect with me and they can feel. And then I'm also talking them through the survey findings, and I'm also then talking them through a few of the members of EGN who I interviewed actually for the book, and sharing their stories, and including one lady who in fact had planned for her own suicide, and she decided to seek help and saved her life. And so I'm sharing a lot of the messages and basically all linking it back to that if we just speak about our challenges, then we can overcome executive loneliness, as I'm calling it when I'm speaking about it. So that's basically how I link it into the topic. I don't do any hard sell whatsoever. I'm just explaining what it is we do at EGN. And some instances, it can even save a life by a senior executive to join the peer group because they are venting some of the challenges they are facing.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's, yeah, a problem shared is a problem halved. And that's, yeah, I think it shows the power of storytelling and selling that idea with, talking about other people's experiences. And generally, if you've got like I no doubt your presentation does appeal to your target market of executives really well, and they're relating to it, and then us going, they can put themselves in that lady's shoes or someone else's shoes and go, gee, that's exactly where I am right now, or that's exactly where I feel like I'm heading. And when they can see a solution, and particularly I'd hazard a guess a lot of those executives are the solution guided. If they see something that's going to act as a solution for the business that they work in, they're like, that's what we need. That's what we need to implement. And you know, you hope that when they hear your presentation, they go, oh, that's what I need. All right, let's do that. Is that what you hear, or the feedback that you get?
Yes, and even to the point they are really, you know, asking where, what is a safe place? Where can I discuss these things? Because traditionally, the society we are trying to talk about, again, we're trying to talk about the good things, and we're trying to perhaps show our best side always. So typically, people are asking me, where can I have these safe conversations? And while one of these places is in a confidential peer group, we also have to remember that sometimes it can be on a one-on-one basis with a coach. It can be with a mentor. It can be also perhaps in some other kind of organizations. There's many support groups building up now, especially during COVID. And to get that kind of belongingness in a group is also important. I joined during my challenging times 2.5 years ago also a support group. And once I went through that time and I was recovered for the last 2 years, I'm a volunteer myself for this organization where I'm helping others who are going through a difficult time now.
That's awesome. Well, full credit to you on that side of things, because I mean I obviously haven't been on that, so not obviously, but I haven't been on that side of things. But I know, you know, if I was to pick up the phone and talk to someone, if I was having someone who could act as that shining light, had been through it, makes it a lot more relatable to the person on the end of the line, which is only going to, you know, hopefully allow them to see another day and see another good day.
Yeah, that's what it's about. It's about taking it a day at a time, and especially when someone is deep inside a challenging period, and even 1 hour can be challenging. And for them to just speak to someone then who's been there before, rather than perhaps a professional therapy, for a start, they need to grow perhaps to see in a location, or they need to pay a fee for it. So to see someone without any strings attached, just to listen and just to hear them speak, that's many times exactly what we need.
Yeah. And so take us into your peer groups, or yeah, these 20 to 25 people peer groups. They're not necessarily the one-to-one mentors or the coaching. What I'd love to hear from you is, what are some of the effective skills or the effective frameworks that, if any, that the best facilitators of these groups have had to, you know, I've been in different times where there's been great facilitators, and sometimes it's hard to put a finger on what makes them great. And then other times it's, you know, they've got their things down pat and really tight. So is there anything that you've seen from these facilitators that has allowed them to be effective at what they do?
I think the first thing is that make sure that you have a safe environment, a safe location. And what we do at EGN, we make sure that all the members sign a non-disclosure agreement before they're there, so they know that this is a safe session. We don't record the peer group meetings, there's no detailed minutes of the meeting and so on. So just setting the scene, I would say, Victor is the first thing you need to do as a good facilitator or organizer of these sessions. And then it's about breaking the ice immediately. So the best facilitators I see, they're checking in with all the audience first, getting everyone to share something just to warm them up. And may it be just ask everyone to say something great that is happening in their life or their work right now. Just a brief catch up. And then sometimes we put them into speed networking, so they all get also to warm up and network a little bit with each other. So once you are sort of 20 minutes, half an hour inside the session, then the session can start. And what we typically do is we use breakout groups for them to go in deeply and discuss some sessions in smaller groups, and then reporting this back to the bigger group. So all of those things are working, but I will also say that it's a lot of things that goes on behind the scene by the best facilitators. They're also between sessions checking in with the members, having some coffees, informal phone calls, and just to know what is going on in their life, because the big challenges that really is what we need to discuss inside these meetings is not easily for someone to speak about. So it's about getting that trust between the facilitator and the members so that they actually speak up. And sometimes you need to prepare this before and perhaps get a member to volunteer that they're going to put themselves in a hot seat inside this session, which means that they will be in the spotlight and it's almost been rehearsed, because otherwise the chances is that this person will not sit and open up, and then there's an opportunity there missed.
Yeah, it's great insight, because I think seeing how the room's warmed up and breakout sessions, that's great. But like you say, those behind the scenes things of making contacts and getting people comfortable with even just one person that they trust in that room is going to have that flow on effect. And yeah, that's really, really powerful. That's cool. And from there, is it something, and this is more probably just for my own interest sake than anything, is it something that these executives go into, they get great experiences, and then obviously it's a confidential space? Is it something that still grows from word of mouth? Like, are these executives saying this, you need to be in something like this?
Yes, it is. So most of the new members we have certainly come from referrals. That can be an internal referral, perhaps if they are the regional director themselves, maybe they want the regional marketing head or supply chain person to join it. So then they refer a colleague, or there might be someone also outside the network who they refer to us. And because again, the concept is quite unique. While there's many chambers of commerce and other organizations where you can meet other people, people tend to naturally be shy and not open up so much at the networking session. So by having the facilitators inside to really warm up people and get the dialogue going, that's what makes a difference, and therefore the referrals are naturally coming to us.
That's awesome. So great steps, and I love seeing how much public speak, like your whole business really is involved around public speaking and connecting people and getting people to share and facilitating that from point one when you're presenting to these different groups all the way through to when these people are within these confidential peer groups. So where do you, just to finish up, where is your vision to continue to grow this, to continue to add different arms to it, or where do you see this going over the next 2-4 years if we're allowed out of global prison lockdown?
Yes, so myself, I've been with EGN 5 years, and I was employed for 4 years plus. I became a franchise owner of EGN Singapore in May last year, so during our lockdown in Singapore, actually. So it was interesting times to become a small business owners. But I also acquired then the rights for opening EGN in Malaysia and Indonesia, the two neighboring countries. So that's what I'm looking at to do soon. And you actually have also a setup of EGN down in Australia and New Zealand. And I'm happy to link you with my counterpart down there as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So taking over the Asian markets around there, which is, not taking over, but supporting and making sure for a healthier network. That's great. So If people want to find out more about what you're doing, about you personally, or about EGN as a whole, where should they go and what should they do?
They can go to my LinkedIn page. They can, if they go to LinkedIn, they can find me under Nick Johnson. That's spelled NickJonsson, and they can send me a connect request or follow me there. I'm quite active on LinkedIn, so you can find most of my information on the page.
That's brilliant. Well, I will be sure to link that at publicspeakingblueprint.com, where you can find that and all our previous episodes and some other awesome resources if you're looking to improve your public speaking. But if you are in anywhere in and around the space that you would find what Nick's doing either interesting or valuable to you or your peers, then definitely jump in and connect with him on LinkedIn. And Nick, thanks so much for your time. There's been a lot of awesome insights into running these events, these groups, and how you've been able to gather speaking events by using the media, and then obviously being able to leverage that into your business. So I appreciate your open and your vulnerable sharing. It's been absolutely beneficial to both me and I'm sure a lot of people listening. So thanks for your time. If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.